I've entitled today's message, God's Precious Love, but it's so much more than that. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 46, and we'll just have a little look. It's just one verse that really jumped out at me as I was reading a little book of devotionals, actually. I'll read it from the New King James, and then I'll just look at one or two other translations, because it's a lovely verse. Isaiah 46 and verse 4. Even to your old age, I am he, and even to your grey hairs, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. Now, if you've got the New Living Translation, it says, I will be your God throughout your lifetime, until your hair is white with age. Comes sooner to some than others. I made you, and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. And then the NIV says, even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, I will carry you, I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. It's a beautiful verse. In such a short verse, God promises that he will sustain, that he will carry, and he will rescue us. And how does he promise to do it? He points to himself. God says, I am he. You don't need to worry about where your help will come from. You don't need to worry how you will get through this. You don't need to worry about anything. I am he. And God's promises are signed, sealed, and delivered on the basis of who he is. God promises to take care of us and carry us from womb to tomb, because that's what your lifetime is. And he does not break his promises. He cannot go back on his promises. And we are never too old to be useful in God's kingdom if we let him use us. Even to your old age, I am he. But I'm not a theologian. I am not one who studies the scriptures and can share deep revelations with you. And I'm just simple. I'm a storyteller, a truthful storyteller of the Word of God, to the best of my abilities. But let me tell you, I am he. One of the most important names of God in the Old Testament is Yahweh, or Jehovah. And it's from the verb that means to be. But put simply, it's more profound. It's I am who I am. I will be who I will be. God is the author of life. He's the author of salvation. His I am expresses the fact that he is the infinite and the original personal God who's behind everything and to whom everything must finally be traced. I am who I am. It signals the truth that nothing else defines who God is but God himself. I am who I am. People say today, oh, I am who I am because of this. I am who I am because of that. God is who he is. He is what he says. What he does is who he is. He is love. He is so much more than we can even begin to imagine. He is the God who spoke and created the world. He created the universe. He didn't need the Hubble telescope to look and say, oh yes, I forgot there was a star in that distant galaxy down there. And he spoke. He knew us before we even were an inkling in anybody's eye. He is incredible. We say, God will never leave you nor forsake you. A verse in the scripture, God will never leave me or forsake me. But do we really, 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 really know? Because I've got to be honest with you, there's times I don't really, really, really know that. my head knows it, but sometimes my heart doesn't know it. But through every stage of our lives, God is there saying, I want to sustain you, I want to carry you, I want to bear you up. Even to your old age, I am He. I have made you and I will bear you. And that word bear in the Hebrew, it's beautiful. It's got so many different meanings. It means I will lift you. How many times do we need to be lifted? There's times when physically I need to be lifted. There's times when spiritually I need to be lifted. Times emotionally I need to be lifted. God knows every atom. He knows every particle of me. I had a really good chat to God yesterday in the car, and I apologised again for letting him down, and then I said, why am I apologising? I've just asked to be forgiven. So God forgives us. This is how daft I can be, mind. I'm sure that I'm the only one that's this bad. Lord, please will you forgive me? I repent of doing this. I repent of not spending the time with you that I wanted to, and then I was busy doing other things. I repent of this. Then I reminded him, after I'd asked for forgiveness, I reminded him of all the things that I just asked for forgiveness for. And yet in the Bible it says that when we ask for forgiveness, as far as the east is from the west, whichever way that is, are we forgiven? As God put our transgressions, He's thrown them away. He doesn't remember them. Only God could possibly do that. God is who He is. I will lift you. I will forgive you. That word bear means to forgive. It means to accept. God accepts who we are. When we can accept ourselves and say, I'm a sinner. I've done things wrong in my life. Jesus Christ, forgive me. Come into my life. I want to live your way. I want that relationship with God as my Father. I need that personal relationship with Him. God says, I will carry you. I will forgive you. I will lift you. I will lift you from where you were. I accept you. Just as you are. I loved him because he first loved me. Isn't that wonderful? When we are still in our sin, when we still turn our back, when we are still revolting against everything that God has for us and who he is, God loves us. God loves the sinner. Jesus died for the sinner. We are sinners saved by grace. There are people still waiting for that. There are people who still don't even know it. That word bear, I will bear you, it means I will regard you. I will look upon you. I will exalt you even. That's what that word says. I will exalt you. Why would God want to exalt me? Most of the time I don't see anything worth exalting in myself. How on earth can he see it? Because he sees past what we see. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, forever. God is eternal. God looks at you. He sees the child you were. He sees the person you become. He sees who you are going to be. And he says, I've got a vision for you that nobody can even begin to imagine. I've got plans for your life, plans for the good that you don't even know yet. They are plans to give you a future, plans to give you a hope. And when you can't feel it, when you can't see it, when you can't know it, when things are caving in or when things are going good, regardless, I am here. Who will carry you? I am he who will help you. I am he who will lift you. And the other word that I love, that this word bear means, is he will be our armor bearer. Now an armor bearer is talked about quite often in the Old Testament. An armor bearer was literally one who would carry the armor of their master. You'll see where King David, where David went into battle, his friend Jonathan, who was as close as a brother to him, was his armor bearer. And the armor bearer's job was not just to ensure that the person going into battle was clothed in the armour to be fully protected, the armour bearer would stand in front of that sword or that arrow and protect their master to death. And this word bear, I will bear you, one of the connotations is, I will be your armour bearer. Jesus Christ took death for us so that we could be clothed in the armour of God. If you go into battle and somebody dies in your place, they are called heroic. Rightly so. If somebody, in the terrible atrocities that we had recently, when somebody stands in the place of somebody else who is due to die, who's going to die, and says, I will do everything I can to prevent that, we look and we say, what a hero. What a selfless act of love. God says, I will be your armor bearer. I have been your armor bearer. I have sent my son to stand in the way of everything that would come at you, that would annihilate you, that you cannot possibly imagine, to save you from a death and from an eternity that is absent of light, that is absent of love, that is so far removed from me. I am your armor bearer. God promises you, I will always, for your whole lifetime, do this for you through my son. Praise God for his promises. I will carry you. I will deliver you. It says, at the end of verse 4, even I will carry and will deliver you. That word deliver means so much more. It means I will make an escape for you. I will preserve you. I will release or rescue you. I will save you. God isn't talking about a one-off. This is through your lifetime. Do you know you've probably been saved and rescued from situations and from things in your life that you have no awareness of? Because God is there before you as your armor bearer. I don't know what he's deflected from me that he has taken the brunt of. And I think sometimes, oh my goodness, how long does this go on for? What is happening now? How much worse would it be if I didn't know Jesus Christ as my Savior? How much worse for those who do not know God as their armor bearer? I am he. I am who I am. Praise God for his faithfulness, his promises, and thank him for his amazing love and for his amazing grace towards us. It's not just a song, it's a reality. It's a way of living. I live through God's grace. That grace, where we see it at Easter now, we all focus on it again. But do you know what? God's grace, where his own son was on the cross saying, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? God's son, and he looked at us. He focused on us and he said, I'm doing this for you. He turned away from his own son because of us. Is that not grace? Is that not love? He looked towards us, focused on us, so that we would never know the darkness of living this life without him and of an eternity spent in hell. How old can I be to be used of God? Any age. From Esther, from little Joshua over there, any age. God says, I am he. I will carry you. I said, from womb to tomb. From the innocence of a child. When a child prays, they pray from the heart. They pray honestly. They don't try and find the right words, and they don't try and impress you. They might hold on to your big toe, say, God make his toe better, amen. We think all sorts of, Lord, bring healing to this body, let this man be able to walk again, take the pain away. No, just say it as it is. Can I be too old to be used of God? No. In this world, people are still doing incredible things. I just picked out two. I had a whole list of them. Winston Churchill was 65 when he first became British Prime Minister, leading his nation against the evils of Hitler. He was 65 when he took that job on, our age of retirement. At 81, Benjamin Franklin successfully mediated disagreeing factions in the US Constitutional Convention, avoiding a crisis there. At 81, he just stepped into that. God says the keys to usefulness in old age is asking him to carry you into more usefulness in his kingdom. Turn to Psalm 92. Let's have a little look at Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verses 12 to 15. I shall read that. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. They shall still bear fruit in old age. And verse 14, in my version it says, they shall be fresh and flourishing. But let me tell you, in the King James it reads, they shall be fat and flourishing. But that word fat isn't, as we would say, like somebody rotund, which you're not supposed to politically say now anyway. It means they will be rich, they will be fertile or satisfied in old age. There shall be a continuation of work and of service to the Lord. One of the men that I esteem greatly in this life is a pastor that most of you haven't met, and the ones that have met him and know him love him as we do. His name is Pastor Raymond Tucker. When we were first Christians, we heard of him, and at that point, our pastor at the time went to Pastor Tucker's teaching school. He lives in Idaho, in the United States. This is a man who gave his heart to the Lord at quite a young age. Had it laid on his heart to share the word. The word of God burned deeply in him, and he was hungry constantly to learn more of the word of God. He went out to Africa, and he went to different places with people, and when he came back to the United States, he was still quite a young man, he had malaria, and it was so bad that he was dying. They said that he probably wouldn't live. And the Lord spoke to him, and the Lord said, what would you want from me? What can I do for you? And he said, open your word to me. He lived, and his heart is a heart for pastors. He is a pastor's pastor. His heart is that the truth of the word of God is given in clarity and in honesty to equip men and women to go out into the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that it is not distorted, it is not twisted, that it is the fact of the word of of the truth, because particularly in some of the places that he was going to, Uganda, Kenya, Ethiopia, the word of God was getting passed on. It was getting mutated. It's across the world. The word of God can be watered down. The word of God can be twisted by anybody. But his heart was to equip pastors. I think Pastor Tucker now would be about 83 or 84. Every year, him and his wife Jerry, who must now be about 80 as well, she's tiny, she's like a little bit, they're both very small, they spend between 6 and 8 months in Uganda. They have built a school there, has been there for many years. Andrew and I first came to the Lord about, must have been about 22 years ago, Andrew went and spent 6 weeks with him in Uganda. Come back changed, totally changed. They live the word of God. They speak the word of God constantly. They breathe the word of God constantly. They are such an inspiration. They are normal people. They have an amazing sense of humour. But God honoured his prayer and he said, even to your old age I will carry you. They still go out and they spend at least half of the year in Uganda pouring in. And I mean, anybody who's... It's bad enough when you go to school and you have to sit for a couple of hours. If you're the tutor, you have to study for those hours even longer. When you study to bring a word, it takes hours longer than the hour, or half an hour, whatever it is to bring it. You would know if you've been to the Bible colleges or to anywhere where you have an input. It's a lot of exertion. They just throw themselves into the work of God, and thousands upon thousands of men and women have had their lives and their ministries changed and enhanced, not by Pastor Tucker, but by God using him. I had my life changed by the way his wife was. She said, I am his helpmeet. God put me here to enable him to do what God wants him to do. She goes everywhere with him to make sure that she cooks his food, that he doesn't get sick, that he's able to be as strong as he can be, to support him, to encourage him, to minister to the women. And God is continuing to use him. Yes, he has his frailties. Yes, he has his weaknesses. God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, will carry us. As we go along life, we often pick things up from the daily walks of our lives, and we can carry them. God says, I will carry you. But we carry things. We pick things up. And as we go along, we can carry the things that we pick up, and they can tire us and they can weary us. And sometimes the things that we pick up become our focus. Let me tell you something. When you focus on something, your focus isn't on God. And if your focus isn't on God, then that thing has become an idol. And it could be anything. But that thing in your life that you have picked up and carried has become an idol because you're focusing on it. And idols are meant to be carried. God says, I will carry you. I will carry you. Put it down. Put it down. When I was a new Christian, I had a big, big worry, a big financial worry. Andrew wasn't even saved then. And we were having problems with the bank saying that we owed money that we didn't owe. And this amount was accruing interest daily. And we knew that we didn't owe this, but we could not prove it. And I was worried, and I went to my pastor and I said, I am so scared every time a letter comes through the door that they're going to take us to court this time. I said, I don't know what else we can do. It isn't right. It isn't true. It wasn't us, but we can't keep arguing with these people. It's going on for about a 12 month. He said to me, I want you to give it to God. Because you're looking at it like an idol. I didn't really understand then. He said, I want you to picture putting this situation in a box, putting it into God's hands and leaving it there. In other words, give it to God to carry, not you. I visualize that. I make myself visualize that. I put it into God's hands. Just a short while later, another letter came through the door from the bank, and I was terrified to open it. And I opened it, and they said, we've made a mistake. They've made a mistake. I carried something needlessly. I'm not saying that you don't worry about things. You shouldn't worry about things. I'm not saying things don't affect you. That's the words I may have said, should have said. Things do affect you. God says, I will carry you. I will sustain you. Look at me. Every single day, I have to come to God and say, I'm really trying hard not to focus on this. I'm trusting you with it. Some things are easier than others. Do we fall into the mindset that as we get older, then we associate that with a physical decline? A retreat into inactivity, and sometimes even a retreat into loneliness. Do we see that as something that will befall us as we get older? Because again, I will say, God says, even to your old age and grey hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. Our physical bodies aren't meant to last forever, and life causes wear and tear. But our spiritual life, both for here, while we live, and for eternity, isn't the same. It doesn't get arthritic or worn out. Your spirit life isn't going to get worn out or arthritic. It isn't going to physical decline. Even though your body may be falling apart, God says, spiritually, I am feeding you, I'm nurturing you. Read your word, spend time with me, fellowship. I will lift you up, I will carry you. It isn't always what you can do physically that God wants you to do in His kingdom. It's what you can do spiritually. But you know what? Sometimes even physically, by being that body there, sometimes somebody can come and they can talk to you, or you can just pray with them. Sometimes just go in and hold in somebody's hand. You go to Kevin Glass this afternoon. You could be as frail in your body as you want to, right? You could go up there, you could be in a chair, you could be on crutches, you could be as weak as a kitten. But you're going in the power and the presence of God to spiritually impart something to somebody, and that is a usefulness that God wants from us. I am He. I am He who will carry you. I am He who will sustain you. I am He who will bear you. I am He who will exalt you. I will lift you up. The more we feed our spiritual selves, the more God will pour into us. Ask and you will be given. You have not because you ask not, or you ask amiss. God says, just ask me for it. Lord, I want that hunger back. This is what I said to you yesterday. Lord, I want that hunger back. I want that hunger back for your word. I want that awe back. When I first gave my heart to Jesus and everything was an adventure, and I was so excited. And if you said to me, the Bible says this, I go, okay, I believe that. And then I'd look and I'd see where it says it. And now I says, I know the Bible says that. It's like I said at the beginning, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God will never leave me nor forsake me. Oh, but does He know I'm going through this at the moment and I'm so tired? God says He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Yay! I'm holding on to that. It isn't about being bouncy and whatever else all the time, but it's having that knowledge, having that understanding, having that, I've just hit the microphone, having that assurance Psalm 92:13 said, "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." Don't live on reasons why you are restricted. Live on God's promises. I've had grey hair for a long time. Since I was 16, I started going grey. It's my father's fault. I love him dearly. I must have had a very hard life. I was grey before my mother was grey. God's had a lot more work to do in my life then, because I've been prematurely aging. But you know what? It's incredible to think that he wants to invest so much in us when he doesn't even need to. That is so awesome. I'm going to read Psalm 72 to you, verses 23 and 24, and verse 26. "Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you'll take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I am he, the Almighty God, the Father God, the Creator God." He says, "I will carry you and I will bear you all the days of your life. Let me, trust me, have faith in me, allow me, and see the salvation of the Lord at work in your life." May God bless his word to you today. And as you leave this place on this glorious day, let his words, I am the one who will bear you, who will carry you, who will sustain you. Let it burn in your heart, in your mind, as you go to bed tonight. Let his word remind you, because it's a living word. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your living word. I thank you that it will achieve that which you would have it to accomplish in each and every life, each and every heart, for every person here who has ears to hear. And Lord, we honour you today. We honour you for your word. We thank you and we praise you that you would deem us fit to be lifted, to be exalted, to be saved, to be rescued, so that we could know you and know you more deeply, that we could personally come into a relationship with you that is closer than a brother, that is to last from here to eternity. It is unimaginable to us, the sacrifice that you made because you loved us. And today we pour out our hearts to you and we say, we love you. Abba, Father, I love you, Father God. And today I want to bring a smile to the face of God. Lord, let us enjoy your presence. Let us enjoy coming into your presence. Let us climb onto your lap and have a holy hug from your heart to our heart today. Let us laugh and enjoy your company in the midst of whatever we're going through. Lord, let us come and find respite and peace for all the days of our lives, and remind us on those days where we struggle, remind us, I am he and I am here for you. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.